Welcome to the Defender Podcast, a resource to help mobilize and equip the body of Christ to manifest the gospel to orphans and vulnerable children. This podcast is a ministry of Lifeline Children's Services, and I'm your host, Herbie Newell.
Well, it's Wednesday, March 13th, 2024, and Dr. Rick and I are coming to you from Birmingham, Alabama. Well, today we are so privileged to have join us Christina, who alongside with her husband Hanuk have answered God's call to serve in Pakistan, West Asia, transitioning from their previous life in the United Kingdom. And despite the known challenges and even health concerns for Christina, they stepped out in faith, moving to Pakistan in 2012. In their dedicated service, they established a robust ministry comprising 60 churches, 6 schools, 22 sewing centers, 4 safe families for vulnerable children, Sunday school outreach, women's transformation initiatives, a dignity project, a medical center, a training center, and ongoing construction of a mission outreach center. And we want to know that today is International Women's Day. And Christina, as one of our partners, along with her husband Hanuk, is someone that we want to look at, that we see the Lord working in and through internationally, the way that he has brought forth faithfulness in their lives, but also how he is bringing abundant harvest in a difficult place. But before we get to hear from the infamous Dr. Rick and Christina, I want to remind you about our global orphan care partners. Our global orphan care partners, like Christina and Hanuk, are partners that we work with throughout the globe, who we want to help come alongside of vulnerable children and orphans. Globally, the vast majority of orphans cannot be adopted due to political, cultural, and legal constraints. And Lifeline is committed to caring for these children and sharing the gospel in these inaccessible locations. And you can partner with Lifeline to provide resources and to support ministries that raise, educate, and minister to orphans, giving them a hopeful future. Get more information on how to partner with these global orphan care ministries at lifelinechild.org/global. Again, that's lifelinechild.org/global. Or as always, you can see the show notes. Well, it's the time of the show where everybody is always excited about. That's when we get to bring on the infamous Dr. Rick, the silver-haired and silver-tongued one. Dr. Rick, I know that today we are extremely excited to have Christina on the podcast, someone who she and her husband Hanuk have become, of course, heroes of ours, someone we got to meet for the first time in person several years ago at our first global conference. And I know that you know that the listeners today are in for a treat.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, our first introduction to Christina and Hanuk was over dinner at the really before the conference began. And so we had an opportunity with a couple of other couples to have dinner with them. And we were privileged to be seated in a good spot at dinner. So we had an opportunity to really be able to visit with them and begin to get to know them. And I'll just be honest with you, Denise and I were just captivated by them. And so just their warmth and seeing just the evidence and the fruit of the gospel in their lives. And so the privilege to continue to know them and continue to see what God is doing through them and just the incredible work. We're blown away. We're thankful for the opportunity that we have to be able to serve alongside and to be able to help the work that God is doing with them. And I think particularly on this International Women's Day, when we stop and we think about God's design and God's good creation in creating us male and female and creating women, the ministry that they do to women in their nation and the way that they are appropriately empowering women and bringing dignity to women who are created in the image of God, and the way they share that and share gospel hope through that opportunity is something that I'm really excited for the folks that are listening to our podcast to be able to hear, because I think it's it's innovative. It's not run of the mill. It's not the kind of thing you hear every day. But just incredibly inspiring of the, you know, really entrepreneurial way that they have, you know, that the Lord is using them in the way that they've served. And so, Christina, thank you for joining us. And we're so glad to have you on the Defender podcast.
Yeah, first of all, thank you very much for for honoring me for this podcast. I feel like really blessed. So yeah, thank you, Herbie. And thank you, Dr. Rick.
Well, you, our dear sister, it is an honor to have you. And, you two are friends, but also, as Herbie said, heroes, people we look up to and in the Lord, people that encourage our hearts. And so we just kind of want to, you know, maybe unpack a little bit of your story today and help folks to get a better sense of who you are. And so the first question, first place we're going to start is let's just start at the beginning about what motivated you and Hanuk to do the work that you're doing, and also even just the opportunity to join with Lifeline and to become a global partner with Lifeline.
Yeah, as you already, you know, Herbie just introduced me, and he said that as a couple, Hanuk and myself, back in 2012, we moved back to Pakistan. And, you know, when we were coming back to Pakistan, we had our vision clearly written on the paper, and, you know, we just stepped out on faith, and God has been really faithful, and he just really showed us that it was his will for both of us to come and serve him in Pakistan. So, like, you know, I just wanted to share something about myself. You know, as a child, I was just saying to my brothers as a child, you know, that I really want to do something for children, maybe, you know, in my 20s or in my 30s or whenever it's possible. So when we got married, I just, you know, just before I got married, actually, I had some medical issues, and the doctor told me that I might not become mother in my life. And I was like so disappointed. I shared with Hanuk, and Hanuk said to me, "Christina, you don't have to worry about this because it's God's will. He can just give you whenever he wants. If he really wants us to have a child, he will just bring it out of anything, you know." So that really gave me courage, and that really made me so happy that my husband-to-be is going to be a very understanding person. And when we moved back to Pakistan, we were just like, you know, okay, we want to do something for children. So back in 2015, in February, Hanuk and I, we were just praying. And then after prayer, we just thought about, you know, I said to Hanuk, "What do you think about, you know, that vision of the part of that vision that we just wrote on the paper? It's about the children." So we took it very powerful. Like, you know, we really felt that God is calling us for this ministry. So we opened our own house, our own home, and we just welcomed three girls in our own home in February 2015. Couple of girls, we rescued them from public toilets. And then there was another girl. She was, we brought her from brick factory. She was orphaned. So we started this ministry like that. But then we just wanted to do more effectively this ministry. So we were just praying, and we were looking for some more global partners, and we were praying to join the family that we can work with. So yeah, so we I just want to say that I am a coordinator of CAFO Orphan Sunday in Pakistan. So Jody Tuckerson, she just put us together with Lifeline. And since then, we are with Lifeline, and we are so thankful. And we were like, you know, there was a global conference back a couple of years ago. And when we met people, when we met families who were caring for the children, fostering children, especially I want to just mention, there was a couple in Dubai. They are looking after, they are fostering two girls who are blind, and they're from India. And it really touched me, and I was like in tears, and my heart was like so much. I was shivering, you know, that how God can use his people. And being a woman, my heart is always like a mother, like a motherful heart. It's even if I'm not a biological mother, but my heart, inside my heart, I am a mother. So, yeah. So we also encourage our believers and our church members and also the church in Pakistan to foster the child. But, you know, our socio-economic situation in Pakistan is not that strong. So people are always afraid to bring any child into their home. But the ministry that we started with three girls is like, you know, it's almost 200 children now that we they are in our care. And the girls that in 2015 we just took in, they were 4, 5, 6 years old, and now they are really grown up. And sometimes I become emotional as well with them. So, yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, I love the emphasis too, Christina, on the church. And certainly, I think when a lot of people maybe who have never been or looked into the country of Pakistan, even the idea of a vibrant church might be a foreign idea to them. But yet through your ministry, you're seeing the church and Sunday schools and pastors truly caring for these at-risk children, educating these children, impacting these children for the gospel of Christ Jesus. You even mentioned yourself how you've coordinated Orphan Sunday throughout Pakistan. Talk about the work of these pastors in Sunday schools and just how they've been empowered to really care for vulnerable children in and throughout Pakistan.
In Pakistan, we have 20,000 brick factories, and 1 million of the workers are Christians. And almost 99% of the brick factory workers are slaves, because they end up, if you want, I can just explain a little bit about modern slavery, that, you know, when somebody is looking for a, like, you know, they have a special need, they will just go and get some money from the masters of the brick factories. And when they can't return the money back, that's how they become slaves, and they just get the people to work in those factories. And they start work at 3 a.m. or maybe sometimes 4 a.m. and for in scorching heat and regardless of weather. So yeah, we have a few teams of Sunday school pastors, and we are reaching 4,000 children every week with our Sunday school teams. Our Sunday school teams are well-resourced and they are well-trained. Every month they have a training for whole month, and they are given stories and paper cards, play cards, and then they are also given like little skits for the dramas and, you know, the things like that. So this kind of resources are really life-changing for our children. So our what we do, like our pastors, whenever they have a chance to go into the slum area or maybe brick factory or maybe agriculture industry, they find some children, and then they feel that, yeah, there is a need for Sunday school. So we just start Sunday school there. And because of those Sunday school movement, children are coming to know Christ, and they have a hope of better future. Our teams are constantly working on children's life, and they are like, you know, they are really learning from the Sunday school. And, you know, the time that they spend with each other during the Sunday school time, it is like a very precious for them, because they might not have this time, you know, because they're always working in brick factories, and there is no one who will pamper them like this, you know. So our Sunday school teachers, sometimes they bring snacks with them, and they just share the love. So the ultimate goal of this ministry is to share the love of God and also the message of gospel. So yeah, we have about 6 schools. I just want to tell you a little bit about education program as well. So we have about 60 schools, and we have 1,070 children. And most of the children, they are from brick factories. So yeah, so some children, we just want to sponsor them while they are staying with their families, sponsoring them for their education, for their personal need, for food, for clothing, and for books, and for uniforms. And yeah, so impact of the education is Sunday school plus academic education is that it prevents forced labors, it prevents harassment, exploitation, and abuse. So yeah, we are trying our best to, we would love to reach each and every child, but we have limited resources. So we just want to do much more than that.
Christina, I think, you know, the impact is vast. I mean, the thousands of children that you're reaching through the Sunday school programs and through, you know, through the other outreaches and through the school, and just to see the way that the church in Pakistan is rising up and is obeying James 1:27 and is, you know, is caring for orphan and vulnerable children is pretty amazing. But I think, you know, you said something earlier about your mama's heart, you know, and just about that, that heart that the Lord has placed within you to, you know, to love children. And I think sometimes we can get lost in thinking about the bigness and the numbers, and miss the stories of the individual children. And so I'd love for you to just kind of tap into your mama's heart for a little bit and talk about, because I love the way that in your ministry, you really focus on both the physical and the spiritual, and about meeting needs in both realms, and keeping, you know, keeping the gospel at the center of what you do. And so, talk about some of the individual children and the transformation that you've seen that the Lord's made, and just the way that God has moved and created stories among some of these kids.
Here, I would like to share a story of a boy. His name was Ezekiel, and he's the son of our church planter in Punjab. And he was about 8 years old when his father couldn't really send him to school. So he stopped going to school, and he went into antisocial activities, and, you know, he ended up distributing the drug, actually. People took advantage of him. So he started to do this kind of antisocial activities. So when we heard about him, we just went into his home and we decided to bring him out from the village, and we brought him out here where we live. So he just went to the school, and in a very short period of time, he became a brilliant student, and he finished his high school with outstanding marks. Grades. Actually, he topped the whole district, and it was the moment of like joy. And I was just like, you know, Anouk and I, we were really happy when we heard about this. And then, you know, he went into the college as well. And in his college, he got scholarship. And then in the college as well, he was the topper. So it was like, yeah, there was a God's purpose in his life, you know. And then, you know, he is doing his degree in English literature, and he's doing devotions. He's sharing the word of God. He became saved, and now he just wants to become a missionary. He said that I want to become a pastor, and I want to do something for the children, because he said that what happened to me, I don't want children to be treated like that. So I want to do something for children. So he was like, you know, he is on fire. He is just so excited. And he's a very brilliant guy. So we thank God for his life. And our church planter, he's very happy as well. So his mother, everybody's like, you know, oh yes, he did it. So I'm sure that God has a really good, big plan for his life. And yeah, also, I would like to share a story of the lady who was born in a big factory. And then, you know, she was born and bred in the big factory. She was working in the big factory. And when she hit the age of the marriage, she got married with the person who was in another brick factory. So she just, you know, went into another brick factory. So she was working, you know, when I see her hands, her hands are like really, you know, deformed bones and things like that. So her husband, he was called Shabazz, and they have three kids. So they started to work, and they were like, you know, when I was talking to her, she said to me that I never wanted to work in the brick factory. When I was single, I was praying that God bring me the man who could take me out from this slavery. But God brought me another man who was slave himself. So then, you know, she said that, but I never stopped praying. I was always praying that God, please send your angels who can help us. And, you know, there was a time when the brick factory was closed because during the rain, it closes. So the master, he wasn't giving them any money for the food. So he said, go out and find some work. So then, you know, he went out into the city and he was working in the construction industry and he was working in the basement. So, you know, the concrete slab, that fell on him and his neck and his backbone, his bones, most of his bones were were fractured. And he stayed in hospital for 6 months, you know. They tried their best, and because he was in a government hospital, so, you know, they were not really... they tried their best, but they couldn't save his life. So he died. And, you know, Firdaus, she told me that when he died, I died with him as well. But I felt that I have a responsibility of 3 children. So she started to work again. But then she said that I was still praying that God, please bring your angels and send someone who can bring us out from this situation. And she said that my children were working, and I was like thinking, when I was a child, I was working like this. Now my children are working, and what is this, you know? And she said that I never stopped praying. And one day our church planters, they were just visiting, and they met her, and she told about the debts and everything. So she had about more than $3,000 was the debt that she needed to pay if she wants to get out from the brick factory. So our church planters, they just made a report and they discussed, and we just decided that we want to do something for Firdaus and her children. So we paid the debt off and we got the legal agreement signed from the master that the debt is paid off. And then we just took the Firdaus and her children and we brought them with us, and we arranged the housing, and then we arranged her job as well. She's working in our safe home, and her children, they are staying in our safe home. And now she is very happy. She says that, you know, I never knew that, you know, God will be so merciful. She said, I was just praying that help me, Lord, but I didn't know that God is going to do such a great thing for me and for my children. So now they are enjoying their life. She's very happy. She's like working like a, you know, she said to me that now I don't feel that it's a real work. It's just a joy that I'm serving God and I'm serving the children as well. So, and her children, they are very happy as well. Yeah. So do you want me to share another story as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, please. Yeah. I would like to share another heart moving situation. There is a story, but it's not a story. It happened a few years back that we heard, you know, our church planter, one of the church planter, he called Hanuk and he told the story that one of our Christian family, she was the woman, she was expecting a child. And, you know, when there was a time to labor, she was really in pain, and they were just like, you know, okay, what to do. So then they tried to call the ambulance, and as soon as the ambulance guy knew that she's Christian, they refused, because that particular ambulance is only for Muslims. So then, you know, by the time she and her husband reached to the hospital, the baby died in the womb. So it was like really heartbreaking for me. I said, Hanuk, you know what? We should be praying about it. You know, we want to do something. We should be doing something. So we started to pray, and God answered. We were just thinking about ambulance, actually, that, okay, we want to have an ambulance there. So anybody can, like, you know, get the services. But God had another plan for us. So God provided a land for the health center. And now we have a health center, which is looking after the unborn children and pregnant women. We have a very good staff who are all Christians, and they are motivated. They are just devoted to their work, and we are just so thankful that God is bringing, God is bringing out from the, He's bringing good out from everything. So we just bless God for this.
Praise the Lord. You know, I think to see the way the Lord is working in so many powerful ways in Pakistan. I know, Christina, as people are hearing this, they want to know how can they be praying for you in Hanuk, but also how can they be praying for the work that's going on, but also how can they support you guys? So talk a little bit about how people can be praying and supporting the work that's going on in Pakistan.
Yeah, so we are so blessed to have received the support from Global Church and Global Family. And I just want to encourage our listeners to come forward and stand with us in this great work that God has called us to do. So our listeners can stand with us in prayers, and they can sponsor a child's education. They can sponsor a family who can be free. And then also they can help financially to set up more Sunday school teams who can go into the factories, and then they can also support us to set up new schools in different locations, maybe academic schools in brick factories, and also they can help us to set the captives free. So
and for those that are listening, all of those needs can be met through Lifeline Child. We are partnering with Hanuk and Christina to make sure that these needs are met. If you have an interest in sponsoring a child, you can go to lifelinechild.org. You can search for child sponsorship, and you will see the children that could be sponsored. As well, if you want to send support to the work that's happening there through Hanuk and Christina's ministry in Pakistan, please know that we will get that support to them to make sure that this work continues. You know, Dr. Rick, as we just continue to hear what the Lord is doing, it's a true reminder that the Lord uses His people around the world in great and awesome ways.
Yeah, Herbie, I think just to see the way that the gospel is going forth in Pakistan and the way the church is vibrant and growing. And, you know, one of the things I just wanted to add is, we'd love for churches to come alongside. And one of the things that we have a vision for is to create church to church partnerships from churches here in the US and churches in the West that would partner with the churches that are being planted through Christina and Hanuk's ministry, and would love to see that kind of supportive, intentional prayer connection, resource connection. Churches that would, you know, that would build a vibrant sort of relationship that would be ongoing. And so I just want to, you know, if you're out there and you're in a church that is looking for a way to become involved in the nations, and you want to find something where you know that the gospel is going forth, and you know, that the teaching is solid and is faithful. This is a ministry we can commend to you. And so I just pray, even as we're kind of closing our time here today, is that the Lord would move on the hearts of individual believers, but specifically that the Lord would move on local churches' hearts to join up and to come alongside and to embrace this work. And to walk with our sister and our brother and their family, their local bodies and local families there, because it is hard. The economic conditions are severe. The challenges to the gospel are real, and this is a place where we see undeniably that the Holy Spirit is at work, and that God is doing things through the person and the name and the work of Jesus. And so we want to commend that to you, and we want to encourage you to certainly be praying But also if the Lord prevails upon your heart, that you lean into that and don't just be moved, you know, do something. Right.
Amen. Well, Christina, we're so grateful for you and for Hanuk, and certainly for the ministry that the Lord has given you. We're grateful for the opportunity to partner, and we're grateful that the Lord is using his people, men, women, boys, and girls around the world for his glory. So thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your partnership. And thank you for all of you for listening to this episode of the Defender Podcast. And we look forward to joining you again next week for the Defender Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Defender Podcast. If you enjoy making this podcast a part of your weekly routine, we'd love for you to take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review the Defender Podcast to make it easier for more people to find. For more information on how you and your church can partner with Lifeline, visit us at lifelinechild.org. If you want to connect with me, please visit herbienewell.com. Follow us at Lifeline on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter by searching for Lifeline Child. You can email us directly at info@lifelinechild.org. Beloved, will you allow God to use the gospel through you to impact the life of a child? Please contact us because we are here to defend the fatherless. We'll see you again next week for the Defender Podcast.